Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. Appreciate you joining me again, and I really hope you get a blessing from today's program because I'm going to get myself in trouble. Folks, after this episode airs, if you find out that I jumped off a bridge or something like that, it was not suicide. I promise this is going to get the Baptist Mafia after me, but I don't care. We give unfiltered truth on this program with a lot of filtered behavior, as I always like to say, but unfiltered truth. And we are going to talk about Baptist preacher politics. Now, when it comes to the Baptist preacher world, there are many political pressures that often people within the local churches are not aware of. And I am going to let everybody know what those things are. I'm going to explain these things to you. I'm going to expose the mind of your pastor and to help you understand him. And listen, whether you agree with my theology or not, okay, if any Baptist preachers watch this, even if you don't agree with my theology, if you are honest at all, you are going to have to admit that what I'm going to say on this podcast is generally true overall in the Baptist world. There's always exceptions, of course. Also, many of the things that I say are pressures. Some people, it's more of a pressure for them than others. So again, these statements are going to be very generally true for the most part. And I know anyone who listens to this is going to assume they are the exception, but it's not about being an exception. It's just about the reality of the pressure. It's important that you understand what it is. It's important that you understand it is there and that it is not necessarily a good thing. And you need to make sure that you don't allow it too much sway in your life, because we're supposed to be pastors of independent, autonomous churches. And while many of the things that we get involved in as pastors, I think overall are good, if we are not careful, we can allow these things to have place in our life, to have a control and an influence that is beyond something that we should allow. And so the things that I'm going to talk about that are pressures on pastors, I'm not saying that you got to isolate yourself from these things, that you should not have these things. I think you should have many of these things. However, never give them more authority and power than they should. For example, friends, peers, we often hear about peer pressure. Okay. And we say, don't give into peer pressure, but we don't mean don't have peers. We're not saying don't have friends, just don't allow them to pressure you into doing something that you know you shouldn't do. And if we're not careful as Baptist preachers, we can do the same thing, and where we allow our peer pressure to get to us and to cause us to do things that we wouldn't do. It might cause us to be afraid to preach some things that we shouldn't preach. And we don't want that to happen. And I've had many people that have reached out to me, and even recently, they don't understand. It's like their pastor just can't see it. It's like, how can he not see this? And these truths are so obvious. What is stopping him? And you don't get it. And I listen to these people, and sometimes too, I even know who they are referring to. I know that pastor, and I am very well aware many times of the politics that they are involved in and the pressures that are there. And I don't think there's any reason why I shouldn't just tell everybody about these things, because if these things aren't wrong, and if they're just a reality, we should be allowed to speak of them. But what I'm going to be sharing with folks, many people, if you are a member in a local church, you might not be aware of these things. You might not be aware of certain pressures that your pastor is under. And often you hear preachers talk about how preachers are under a lot more stress and pressure than you realize, and they mean that in a heroic way. And I think that's true in certain areas, but these particular pressures that I don't think you're aware of, I don't know that he's necessarily heroic for having these pressures. In fact, I would say if that pressure is a big problem for him, that's actually a fault with him. And he actually needs to get over it. And so I do believe one of the reasons many pastors struggle to get things right, struggle to change things that should be changed, is because of political pressure. And so, again, most of you probably are not aware of these things, but I'm going to show what it is. Because, again, There is, we're all aware of pressures within a church. We all understand, you know, if a pastor preaches certain things, he can lose church members. He'll get people in the church mad at him. You know, often too, as a layman in the church, you know who it's going to tweak. You know who it's going to upset. You also understand the influence they have in the church. So you're well aware of the politics within your own local church. But that's not where, that's not what's stopping a lot of preachers. Sometimes it is. A lot of times it's pressure from without the church. It's pressure from the preacher community. And if your pastor is a Baptist pastor, there is a good chance, and it is very likely, that he is connected with organizations, even if they're not real official, that are from outside your church. And a lot of times you are not going to see those influences that are in his life. You're not going to be aware of those things. And so just to kind of compare a little bit, I want to show a comparison, but also a contrast, because a lot of my audience has been connected to the new IFB world. And so some things within the new IFB world that you all have seen, okay, politically speaking, and it definitely compares with what we see in the real IFB, even though there's some differences, is so if you have a pastor within a new IFB church, if he changes on a doctrine or if he preaches something that's contrary to new IFB doctrine, everybody knows exactly what's going to happen. That next Sunday, a bunch of preachers are going to, within the new IFB, are going to get up and they're going to preach a response message debunking whatever he said. Now, when that happens, typically, it not only stirs things up, you know, it stirs things up in that church, okay? So you've got Pastor A preaches something that upsets the new IFB, and then Pastors B, C, and D within the new IFB all preach against Pastor A. The members in Pastor A's church are influenced by Pastor B, C, D, and E. And so now there's a whole bunch of problems in Pastor A's church because of what he preached. Everything probably would have been fine had it not been for B, C, D, and E going after him. And so there's that politics there, and they can potentially lose members in their church and often do. And also the online following, you know, and so if you go against the new IFB, you're going to lose those subscribers. You're going to get less clicks. You're going to get the hate comments, all that kind of stuff. And so everybody's aware of that. And preachers obviously don't like that. We also saw how even when, you know, Pastor Anderson was found out to be disqualified, how it stirred up things in all the new IFB churches. I think most of the new IFB churches lost people in their church as a result of something that happened at Faithful Word. Okay. Now that is uniquely new IFB. In real IFB churches, if a pastor gets disqualified, it doesn't really do anything in other churches. It doesn't affect anything at all. Now within the preacher world though, it stirs up all kinds of stuff. Okay. Anytime a pastor falls in the ministry, you know, they get disqualified for whatever reason, it always stirs things up in the preacher community, but not necessarily in other churches. And that's one of the major differences between old IFB and new IFB. So you know that your pastor in his church, if he were to preach something right, it's not going to stir anything up in your church. If all these other pastors in other independent churches preach against him, it's going to have zero impact on his local church. That's how it is in your average IFB church. And so again, so you don't understand where the pressure is coming from. And it's because the pressure is not coming from within the church. There's nothing to worry about there. The pressure is going to be within the preacher community that he's in. Within an organization, a conference, or whatever, a Bible college he's connected with, that's where the pressure is going to come from. And so you're not going to see that. You're not going to see it. Sometimes your pastor, he might be getting the snot beat out of him in the IFB world, but you've not seen it. You don't know where to look. Because in the new IFB, you know exactly where to look. It's right there online. Everyone's going to see it. You know, everybody's doing posts, dropping memes, all that kind of stuff. You all know how that goes. In the real IFB, it's very different. It's very different, but it's just as real. And let me just say this too. It's just as ugly as the new IFB. It's just the ugliness is just displayed in a different way that you're probably not used to. And so, and I'll share kind of what that looks like as we go through here. So again, that pressure, it's real. And so, in the real IFB, okay, we understand very little impact on your church from something that happens in another IFB church. New IFB church, I mean, again, something bad happens in a new IFB church, all the new IFB preachers have to do damage control sermons about it. It's super weird. And so that's what you've seen. That's what you're used to. Not that way in the real IFB. It mainly affects the preacher community. And your pastor probably is a part of one. He's probably connected to a Bible college. If you went to a Bible college, that Bible college probably still has a lot of influence over him. And I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. I think preachers should have influences in their life. Good influences. We need influences. We don't need to isolate ourselves. And I do. I've got many preachers in my life that are influences and that are good influences. There's some that are probably maybe a little bit negative. And I got to watch out for that. I got to be careful. But with any pastor, with any organization, I need to limit that influence, because at the end of the day, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And so I think all of us should try to surround ourselves with people who are pushing us to be like Christ, who are pushing us to do the right thing. But with those same people, if there ever comes a point where they start pulling you away, you know, then you need to, you got to do something about that. You might need to no longer allow them influence in your life. So I don't want anybody to think that these things we're going to talk about are things that your pastor should not be involved in. No, I think he should be involved in these things as long as he doesn't give them too much authority. And unfortunately, some of these things have a ton of authority in the church. And so just as pretty much anything that happens at Faithful Word impacts all the new IFB churches, it's the same thing within certain conferences that are out there. What goes on there, what is stated there, it does have impact. It's just, if you're within that IFB church, you don't understand where it came from. You saw, if you're in the new IFB, you saw where it came from because you listened to Pastor Anderson's sermon on that. And so now you understand, you know, why we're all attacking this person while we're all preaching on this subject. You know, you understand all of that. If you're in old IFB, you don't understand why all of a sudden the pastor's doing this, because you didn't go to the conference. You didn't hear the sermon he did. You didn't listen to the conversations. You're not connected to those same people. And so your pastor, he does. He has a Bible college probably. He has a camp. He has a clique. He has a conference that he goes to. And so, and I have been to many of these conferences. You know, I got a couple posters here. The National Sword of the Lord Conference. This one's from 2021. I went to the National Sword of the Lord Conference down in North Carolina back in like, four or five. It was a long time. It was like 20 years ago. And it was awesome. I mean, you know, we went there and there were thousands of people at that meeting, just hundreds and hundreds of preachers at that meeting. And while I can't remember the year I went, I do know this. It was the year that Jack Scop had said a bunch of stuff against King James Bible, because I remember at that conference, almost every preacher did some kind of dig at Scop. Scop never got honorable mention. He never got named, but he definitely was getting sniped from the pulpit by almost everyone except Paul Chappell. I remember he preached there. It's the only time I've ever heard Paul Chappell preach in person. He did not drop, and I wasn't there for the whole conference. So there was probably others that didn't, but yeah, Paul Chappell did not drop, take any shots at Scott, but everybody else did. It was pretty funny. That was the first and only time I've got to hear John Hamblin preach in person, and I enjoyed it. I mean, it was great. I was fired up. I was motivated. It was exciting seeing all these other Baptist preachers out there. It made me feel good. Okay, but here's another thing it did too, though. When you go to a massive conference like that and you see thousands of people and you're a Baptist preacher, that, you know, what's going through the mind of the hundreds of other Baptist preachers that are out there? Like, I wouldn't mind being on the poster. I wouldn't mind preaching at the conference. I'd like to be featured at one of these things, because you get featured at one of these conferences, you know, you're kind of in the big leagues now. You know, you're going to be in the Sword of the Lord papers. They go out all over the country, and it kind of validates your ministry. Hey, man, you know, this guy, he's at the national conference. His ministry really must be legit. So it does. It is. And I'm not saying that none of these guys deserve to be honored. In fact, some of these guys on here, I've heard them preach many times, and these guys are absolute legends and are unbelievable preachers. I've listened to a lot of Pastor Jerry Ross. I think he is a fantastic preacher, even though he is always shooting at post-tribbers, but I still like him. Jeff Fugate, I think Jeff Fugate is a great pastor. I've got a ton of respect for him. You have Kevin Wynn, another absolute legend in the IFB world. So I'm not saying these guys don't deserve to preach at these national conferences, but a lot of times that desire to be featured at something might cause someone to not be completely independent. They might want to conform, because I'll bet if any of these guys went, I've got nothing negative I want to say about any of these guys, but I will just say this: if any of them went post-trib, I'll bet they wouldn't get featured at the next one. And they know that. In fact, at the next conference, there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, them getting sniped. And I've seen that happen with these things. You know, I love going to the Revival Fires conference every year. I went to this particular conference. I know many of these people personally, and these people are, I think, fantastic. I think they're great preachers. I think it's a great conference. When I go there, I'm encouraged. I'm edified. I love the fellowship. I think it's good. But at the same time, too, you know, I've also seen the same thing there. Whenever other guys have done something where they kind of got out of line, they're all shooting at them at the conference, and nobody wants that. Okay, now, listen, there was a time in my life where that terrified me. There was a time in my life and in my ministry where the thought of some of those preachers getting up and preaching negatively about me, using me as a negative sermon illustration, there was a time that terrified me. I hate to even admit that, but it is a fact. But I've said this before and I'll say it again, that as much as I feared that, when my time came to get attacked, I will say this, it was way worse than I thought as far as what the attack would be like. But I will say this too, the impact that it had on me was much less than I expected. Because at the same time, you know, I had a clear conscience. My conscience was clear on that. And as much as I didn't enjoy the attacks, you know, I had a clear conscience. I was able to say that. And so not only did that embolden me, but also too, it really removed that pressure from me. And I'm very thankful to just not have, you know, to not be influenced by those things. And I'm somebody too, I'm not like a lot of guys out there. I could start showing some examples that are always talk about, I'm not under any pressure. You know, I don't listen to nobody. I'm independent. Yeah. Yes, they are. And they're so independent, they don't have any friends. They don't get along with anybody. And they also don't influence anybody. Okay. I am somebody that even though I am not influenced in a negative way, even though I do not allow politics to guide me, I actually still have a lot of friends. And so again, anybody can isolate themselves and just declare themselves better than everybody and just thump their chest and talk about how hardcore they are. But can you actually stand strong and still have friends? Because we should still have friends. Can you stand strong and still be a positive influence and actually be a benefit to somebody? And a lot of the people out there screaming about how you know, independent they are. Yeah, they are. They're so independent that nobody knows who they are, and they're not influencing anyone. And so, but again, these conferences though, in your pastor, what something that he has experienced, something that has been done that's not even completely wrong, But he has been trained. He got trained this way in his Bible college, and he has also been trained at these conferences to admire these top-tier men of God. And they do. Pastors understand and they recognize the honor of speaking at one of the national conferences. They get that. And so, you know, when you've been taught to look up to somebody and to admire somebody, you know, and you actually do, they are going to have influence on you. And again, many of these people that I showed on these posters are people who have been influential in my life. But even, and I'm thankful for that. I believe they have been a positive influence in my life. They are still a positive influence in my life. But I'm thankful to say that in times when I have been tested, when I think that there has been attempts to have more influence than I should allow, I've not let it happen. And with more than one of these people too, who I still love and respect, by the way, you know, I have had, you know, and heard and seen things that they've said that were very hurtful to me. That, I mean, it did. It hurt deep. But you know what? We have an amazing Lord who has this ability to heal that we see on display over and over and over again in the scripture. And I have been wounded many times by these friends in a way that I don't think I deserve to be wounded. But when I've done that, it's just drawn me closer to Christ and he's healed me. And I mean, and so even some of the people that have wounded me in the past, these are people that I still, with a clear conscience, can say that I love and I respect and I care about. And I even believe too, when they wounded me, they thought they were trying to help because they were convinced they were right. They were convinced that I was wrong. And you know what? I would rather have people in my life, you know, who are willing to hurt me if they think I need it. And they're willing to, they're not going to compromise either. I don't want them to compromise. But again, sometimes people are just, they're just wrong. And so I'm fine with that. I don't want to surround my people that are just going to go along, myself with people who are just going to go along with whatever. At the end of the day, though, it's up to me to just not allow them more control and authority than what God intended. And so, but again, so, you know, these conferences, they're powerful. Getting featured at a large conference, it not only will make you look good, but here's the thing too, and I'm just gonna say this. This is what's gonna get me thrown into a river by the Baptist Mafia. But not only will it make you look good, but it's also likely to get you invited to preach other places, which means nice meals for free, love offerings, paid vacations. And listen, I'm not even saying all that's wrong, but I'm saying that kind of thing shouldn't be a motivator. And most pastors that I know, pastors I've been around, they don't make a ton of money. Yeah, you know, we work as hard as we can. We do everything we can, trying to be a good pastor, trying to be faithful to the word of God. But we don't always see a lot of material blessing as a result of it, you know? And so it is when, and so the thing is, if you've been working hard, studying hard, and then somebody recognizes that in another church and they want to feature you at one of their meetings or conferences or something like that. I mean, and then you're going to receive some kind of material blessing in your mind. It's like, well, you know, I do kind of deserve this, you know, it's about time. And a lot of times there are preachers out there who aren't making a ton of money, but they are good speakers or good pulpiteers and they do get featured in a lot of places. And you know what? That's extra money. A lot of times they're getting their church salary while they're also getting, I mean, most of the time, and from what I've seen, okay, I've heard stories. I've not experienced a lot of these things, but a lot of these preachers, if they go anywhere to preach, okay, you know, if, and a lot of it depends on how far away they go to, but I mean, they're probably getting anywhere from 500 to even 1,000 to just go preach a sermon somewhere. And so, you know, if you get a lot of that, you know, there's preachers that once a week, roughly, they're preaching out at other churches. You know, that is, these are like weekly bonuses that they're getting. And some of these bigger meetings too, you know, they take up big offerings and they want to bless the man of God, and they go crazy at these things. And so it is there. I'm not saying churches shouldn't be a blessing to other preachers. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I am saying that can become, you know, a powerful influence in a way that it shouldn't. It can become a motivator, and it does. It happens a lot. Sometimes you'll have these churches where I've seen this happen before, where, you know, preacher A invites preacher B to come preach at his church. They give him a big $2,000 love offering. Then preacher B has preacher A come preach at his church, and they do the same thing. And so it's almost like a way to get a bonus from your church without them realizing they're giving you a bonus, because you both kind of did the same thing for each other. And I literally sat there one time. I was at a meeting, and I was at the same table. I wasn't listening in. It's just they were talking, and I was able to hear what they were saying. And these guys, they were like talking about the offerings that they get when they go to these other places, and just like, you know, and tell them like, man, you need to get with this guy. He gave me this much. And just like, that was their motivation. You know, it wasn't, hey, I was able to go and be a blessing at this place. It's like, man, you go there, you're going to get an offering. You're going to get a big check. And I was just like, okay, that's super weird. I thought that was really messed up. But folks, that is a thing in the preacher world. And your pastor knows that. Your pastor, these other preachers he's hanging around, he's seeing them getting flying around places. He's seeing them getting these offerings. He's seeing all the honors and accolades they're getting. And he wouldn't mind that too. And so a lot of times they conform with these people. And so again, those political pressures, again, they create a lot of problems, because if you do the wrong thing, it will affect your status among the preachers. It won't affect anything in your church, but it will amongst the preachers that you run with. And it can affect your friendships. When I went post-trib, there was a bunch of people who just wouldn't talk to me anymore. It wasn't that I ever did anything to them. It's just, you know, I was just kind of, you know, I was, nobody wanted to be associated with me. And let me just say this too. When I went post-trib, okay, again, everybody thinks the new IFB is nasty, and they are, but they're just, at least they're open about it. Hey, and not everybody's like this in the old IFB, but in the regular IFB, they're nasty, but a lot of it is behind closed doors. And I had, when I went post-trib, I had friends of mine that were getting phone calls and grilled from other preachers to make sure they weren't following me. Cause you know, just these guys were getting nailed just because they knew they were my friends. And it freaked some of them out pretty good too. It was really weird. Some of the stuff that friends of mine dealt with because of me, they didn't even do anything. They didn't even agree with me, but boy, they got checked up on, they got threatened. And those preachers, they knew, man, if I do like Brother Tommy does, you know, I'm going to lose my fellowship. And again, pastors, fellowship is important, but you know what? Never put your fellowship before your church. Always put your church before your fellowship. Okay. You're a pastor of a church. You are not a member of a fellowship. Okay. I will never join a fellowship. I fellowship, but I refuse to join a fellowship. And I have been asked, I had somebody not that long ago reach out, and it's like, hey, I want to tell you about this fellowship that we have. And it's like, hey, I've been to some of their meetings. I enjoy the fellowship, but I'm not joining their fellowship. I'm not interested in that. And because I'm not going to join their fellowship, our church and my name's not going to get put on their list. And I'm not going to get invited to preach at one of those fellowships. But I don't care. I'll fellowship with these people because I think they're good people, but I will not join them. I just don't think that's right. And so another thing too that a lot of you don't know about, but it's, you know, and every church is different, but many churches too are very interconnected through things like missions and even ministries that are supported by other churches. So if your church has some kind of ministry in it, you know, and it could be a million different things. And if it's a ministry that other churches are supporting financially, if you've got like a Bible printing ministry, if you have missionaries that are out of your church and you are the sending church where other churches are writing support checks and they're sending them to your church, if you take certain stands, it can affect those ministries. And so you're doing this great work with this ministry, a printing ministry, a music ministry, whatever. And you get to where you need that financial support. You're dependent on that financial support. But the problem is now, if the pastor starts preaching post-trib, all of a sudden now nobody's going to want to buy your printed materials, even if it has nothing to do with post-trib. Now all of a sudden you start losing support. Now all of a sudden you can't do a lot of the things that you were doing before as a result of it. And so that creates a lot of pressure. You know, you don't want to have missionaries that are sent out of your church. You're the sending church. Other churches are sending financial support. And then you go and you preach something wrong. You know, you're not supposed to about the Jews. And now those missionaries got to come off the mission field because of you. Do you understand that pressure that's there? So again, if your church has any financial support coming from other churches to support anything within that church, then the political pressure is going to be very, very strong. And it is very unlikely that you are going to get your pastor to change anything on that. You know, the influential churches too are typically the Bible college churches. They're usually the bigger churches. They're usually the stronger churches, the more influential ones. But they rarely take strong stands, because those Bible college churches, if they do, then the other churches aren't going to send their students. Now they're not getting the tuition money coming in. Now they've got to start laying off staff in their church. And, you know, and how would you feel as a pastor? You get somebody to quit their secular job to come be full-time staff at your church, at your Bible college. But then you go and you say, I believe we're going to be here for the mark of the beast. And now all of a sudden, other pastors, they're not sending their kids anymore. You don't have enough tuition, and you got to go tell so-and-so, hey, we got to lay you off. We can't afford to pay anymore. You know, that's not going to feel good. You don't want to do that. So that's why these Bible college churches, you know, they rarely have a big impact in an area. You know, they can be a good influence on areas where we're right. But if there's been areas where leaven has crept in, they are very unlikely to remove that leaven. They are very unlikely to fix anything. And so they're good at certain areas in preserving certain things, but they're not very good at fixing anything, because fixing something always requires ticking off somebody. And so that creates problems. So when you've grown up IFB, when you've been taught like I have to love, to revere, to respect men of God, and when you've sat there and you've cheered them on in their conferences as they've attacked those who've broken ranks, you know, when you've sought their approval, your whole ministry, and then, you know, someone, you know, who is more than likely made decisions, you know, you've probably made decisions against your better judgment. A lot of these pastors too have even upset and hurt church members through loyalty to a camp, to a conference, to a pope. And just understand, when you've done that type of thing, the thought of them attacking you, the thought of you being the one on the chopping block, the thought of you being the one getting sniped, it's a lot, you know, it is. And there was a time I was terrified of that. Now I use me getting sniped from the pulpit as promos for my podcast. I don't care anymore, but that's not how everybody is. And so pastors carry a lot of burdens, and pastors need conferences. They need meetings. We need the motivation. We need the fellowship. But sometimes we let these things have a place in our life that we shouldn't. Sometimes we end up sacrificing things that we shouldn't sacrifice, or we receive these, the fellowship and all these things from these meetings at a price, and we shouldn't do that. And so these high honors of preaching at national conferences, getting your sermons put in newspapers, all that, it's been given way too much value. We all need to see things for what these really are and just keep them in their proper place. You know, these conferences, these are man exalting other men. Okay. I want to exalt those who are advancing my agenda. Why is that a great honor? Okay. That's not that great of honor. You know who you should seek for exaltation from is the Lord. You know, he will exalt you in due time. And at the end of the day, what I wish every pastor would do is just recognize these things. You know these things I'm talking about are real. You know how bad your feelings would get hurt if you didn't get invited back to certain conferences. You know how much it would hurt you to hear certain preachers sniping you from the pulpit. You know that. You understand that. And the thought of that is something that is always in the back of your mind as you're reading your Bible. And we cannot let those things influence us. Every one of us needs to be able to do, like, I like what it says in 1 Timothy 1:18. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Listen, whatever you preach what you believe. You preach what you have been convinced by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is true, and do it with a good conscience. And if you are pre-trib by conviction, by conference, by conscience, based on what you've read in the Word of God, man, I hope you preach it. I hope, and I wish I believe that every pre-tribber was a pre-tribber for those reasons. And I think some are. I do. There are some people I believe are genuinely convinced that that is true. They are genuinely convinced that people like Jeffrey Epstein and, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Adam Sandler are God's chosen people. They're convinced. And they believe biblically we should support genocides in the Middle East and stand with Israel no matter what. They are convinced of that in their conscience. I believe they are dead wrong. But you know what? I'm glad they're preaching their conference. I'm glad they're preaching with conviction. But there's a lot of people out there, I don't believe you. In fact, there's a lot of people out there preaching King James only. I don't even think you believe it. I don't think you're doing it with a good conscience. And you know what? You all keep revealing yourself, because eventually, once you get shot at by the IFB, what do? You go to the skinny jeans conference. "I used to be King James only." Yeah, you know what? Listen, if that's not what you are, don't preach it. You're making us look bad. A lot of people preaching dress standards, music standards, even once saved, always saved, preaching against Calvinism, all that stuff. You're not even doing it with a good conscience. You're not even convinced of it. You're doing it for the sake of politics. And you know what? You are going to make the cause look bad eventually. And so anyway, I hope this maybe shed a little light and help you understand what's going on with your pastor. Those pressures are real. You probably don't know who the people are. You don't know the conference. You don't know the individuals, the college. You're probably completely unaware of that, but it's definitely a real thing. In fact, I would encourage you to do this. Here's just a little test. Okay. Go look at all the guest speakers that you've had in your church over the last years. Write their names down, and then go, like, just kind of search those names together. And you know what you'll probably find? They were probably all featured speakers at a conference somewhere. Your pastor's got a camp. He's got a click. And then what you need to do is go to that conference, and you'll find out exactly what's influencing him. And you'll find out why he does things the way he does. And I had a conversation recently with some folks who, sadly, their pastor took another direction. And the signs at first, they were very small. And a lot of these things they were seeing, it concerned them, because it was like they didn't know what was going on. Now, I knew what was going on. I was very familiar with this church. I knew what was going on. I saw the signs and I was like, man, this is not good. I know exactly what's happening. But these people, they were not aware. They only knew their local church. And so even though a lot of this stuff bothered them, they felt petty talking about it. And the reality is, had these people, if they would have just done this one thing, if they would have paid attention to the conference their pastor was going to and watched the preaching at that conference, they would have seen what came in that church from a mile away. And if you want to know the direction your pastor is taking the church, pay attention to what conferences he goes to. That'll tell you a whole lot about him. And it'll tell you, and then pay attention to who's preaching at those things, and you'll know who's influencing him. And you will understand him more. And again, many of these men on here, I greatly admire and respect. And they are influences, and I hope they will always be influences. I believe many of them are positive influences in my life, but these men are not the authority of Liberty Baptist Church. And they don't claim to be. They are not the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I'm the pastor, but Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if there's ever an area where I feel like, hey, y'all aren't in lockstep with Christ in this spot, forgive me if I don't go along with you on this. I still love you. You know, I'll let you do what you're convinced of in your church, but I've got to do what I'm convinced of in my church. And unfortunately, we just don't have a lot of real independence in independent Baptist churches, and we need to get it back. And if we could get some true independence in our independent Baptist churches, I think we would see a lot more people get a lot of things right. I think they would fix a lot of things. And I want to close this, but I let me do this too, because I appreciate this person's question. But I had somebody that sent me an email, and I think what they brought up in this email is definitely related to what we're talking about, because they have enjoyed a lot of my stuff against the repent of sins teaching and about, you know, easy believism and all that. But, the lordship teaching, repent of sins, is becoming a big thing in IFB churches. And he was asking me too about why so many in the IFB overemphasize discipleship as opposed to soul winning and trying to reach as many lost people as possible. And let me just say this. First off, I am 100% for discipleship. I believe in discipleship. I don't think there's anything wrong with a discipleship program. I just hope nobody would ever allow discipleship to negatively take them, or in a way, take them away from actual soul winning. I hope no church would ever do that kind of thing. But here's and this is what I have for this individual. I'll send him a link to this, make sure he listens to this one. But here's what I believe is the reality of this. In these IFB churches, where pastors are seeking the approval of the IFB, the things that give you higher status in the IFB, you know, is obviously church attendance. You know, the bigger the crowd you have, the more legit you look. Buildings is huge. You go to any of these conferences, many of the keynote speakers, when he gets up, he's going to spend the first 5 to 10 minutes talking about their building programs and their numbers that they've been having. Okay, what's he doing? He's showing his credentials for why he's there. And so the thing is, soul winning by itself does not, you know, always cause your church to just blow up, you know, in attendance. It doesn't, you know, but discipleship is something that can help with that a little bit more. And so a lot of people, they're not necessarily as focused on getting as many people saved as possible as they are as just building their church. And so programs can help you build your church, you know, activities and things like that. That typically helps build a church more. And those things aren't bad. It is not wrong to do those things as long as you're not sacrificing soul winning. But a lot of these people, the reason they are emphasizing those things so much more than soul winning is because that's where the politics are right now. That's what's being pushed. That is what will help them achieve a certain status. If I go out as an individual soul winner and I lead 100 people to the Lord this year, that will do nothing to impress any of the big names. You know, okay. You know, I impress them more by letting them see what kind of crowd I can bring in and what kind of building I can build. So that's just awful, Pastor Tommy. I know. IFB's not perfect. You know, and there are some areas, and let me just make everybody mad at me right now, but you know, these are some areas too where the new IFB has done better than the old IFB. I think the new IFB has put a better emphasis on soul winning, and you know, they have a much lesser emphasis on buildings and things like that. And I think that's better. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, all of the new IFB's problems aren't still legitimate problems. And it doesn't mean, too, these old IFB churches that maybe are a little unbalanced and they are terrible churches. You know, again, the old IFB, while they maybe focus too much on buildings more than they do soul winning, they also focus a lot more on godliness and good families than the new IFB does. You know, and so, you know, I think every church, what they ought to do is just try to take the best from everyone. That's what I want to try to do in my church. And so there's areas where the old IFB is very positive. I'm going to follow their lead. There's other areas where I think the new IFB is better. I'll follow what they're doing in that area. When it comes to living life, when it comes to raising family, when it comes to sound doctrine about behavior, I'm old IFB all the way, you know. And when it comes to I guess a soul winning methodology, when it comes to eschatology, I'm not going to say I am. I can't utter those words, but I would be more aligned with with that crowd. So anyway, I hope this helped everybody have a better understanding. And I don't know, maybe it's one of those things you have to have been a part of and experience it. I thought about maybe trying to get some other pastors to talk with me on this. Maybe see, I'll let them express it a little bit and then also take some of the heat off of me. But I decided just to go solo on this one and just get myself in trouble. And so I hope this helped you. And every church member do that. You know what? I believe pastors are accountable to their churches. And I think churches ought to be aware and have the right to be aware with conferences their pastor goes to. I don't think you ought to tell them which ones he can and can't go to. I don't want our church people telling me what meetings I can and can't go to, but I would pay attention to what meetings he's going to. Why? Because they're probably going to have an impact on him. And if it has an impact on him, it's going to have an impact on you and your church. So you have a right to be aware of those things. So anyway, I appreciate everybody watching this, and please pay attention to these things. Some of your pastors are going to churches where they are teaching them how to transition their church away from the King James Bible. You need to recognize the signs of that. So you pay attention to your pastor's meetings and understand the politics that he's influenced by, and it will tell you a lot, and things will become clear. So thank you for watching this. God bless.